Okay, we used last week's Avraham Avinu, that's correct, correct. But this week we get a big introduction, another introduction, that's correct. Noach also gets two introductions, Noach is just in Bereishis and in Shema, and Noach. Avraham Avinu also, we have a double introduction, but we learn a lot more about Avraham Avinu, because Noach selects him, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, Umi Me'latecha, Mi'bei Savicha, L'Arvis HaShareka. And when we go through the parasha, and this week's parasha, maybe even more so next week's parasha, we get a little bit, we learn about his personality. And what we learn over and over is the nature of Rabbi Avinu is an ish of chesed, a man of kindness. And in fact, even the first version of the parasha, we learn how, even though his father, we learn that Avraham Avinu did not want to leave his father. He was very, very good to his father, even though his father, it's amazing, even though his father put him into the his father threw him into the Ur Kasdim. There are indications that Avraham Avinu was still, it's shocking, even though his father wanted him dead, yet he still was very kind to his father. What, he didn't throw him in,
but he
turned him in. To what? For what? What? For a pizza? For a prize? Extra slice of pizza? He turned him in to die. And yet, Avram did not want to abandon him. And that's why Rashi explains why the psukim are arranged in such a way to hide the fact that it would appear that he did abandon is only because Hashem told him he must. He has no choice. We learn about how he was kind with his wife, he was moiser nefesh for her, to rescue her. We learn about vayet oho. Even though we read oholoi, it's spelled ohola. Okay, and later, not in this week's parasha, we're going to learn about what happened with Loit and with Sodom. That's later vayera. But in any event, we do begin to learn about his nidois toivois. He is known as an Ish Chesed. And it is for that reason, in the Nusach Atzilah, and throughout all of Chazal, when we discuss the Avos, Avraham is the one who has established the pillar of Chesed. Al Shloisha Devarim Ha'olam Oimed, Al HaToyra V'al HaVoida V'al Gemilas Chasadim. Gemilas Chasadim corresponds to Avraham Avinu. He was the one who paved the way. He established in a selfish world where it's all about people live all for themselves, that there's more to life than just living for yourself. There's something to be said for giving, to be a goyimel chesed, as is the nature. And how, where does that come from? It only comes from this, from the Ramchal. It only came from recognizing that there is a creator. Avram was the first person in the pagan world to recognize, or a world of idols, to recognize of idol worship, that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the first question you ask when you acknowledge that there is a creator, why, Hashem, did you create this world? What were you thinking? You had a bad day at the office? Why in the world did you create this world and everything that we see? And the answer the Ramchal gives, it's a chiddush. You have to be a maimon to accept all of these ideas. Olam chesed yibane. The reason, the primary reason why Hashem created this world is to do good, to bestow kindness, is to create creatures upon which Hashem can do kindness, can do them favors, can be good to them. Olam Chesed Yibane, it's one of the most fundamental principles in Yadus. The Torah begins with Chesed, ends with Chesed. It begins with Chesed, where we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he provided clothing for Adam and Chava, provided them shelter, food, and ends with Chesed. Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu. It begins and ends with Chesed. The first one to recognize this was Avraham Avinu. He recognized there is a creator. And he taught us there's a principle called Hevei Doime Eloi. Ze Keli V'Anveyu. This is my God, and I want to be Shove V'Anveyu, which Chazal interpreted to mean Hevei Doime Eloi. I want to be similar Shove V'Anveyu not now the etymology of the word, but I want to be similar to him. I want to emulate him. If this is the creator and he created this world to do chesed, I also want to be a Baal chesed. Vayita Eshel, he planted a orchard, which Chazal say was a hotel, Hotel Eshel, Achila, Shesia, Levaya, the list goes on and on and on forever. He is the foundation of chesed. The whole world today, even amongst the goyim, you cannot deny the fact that there was a lot of chesed in this world. Okay, Klal Yisrael leads the way. Mika Amcha Yisrael, no one can compare to the chesed of Klal Yisrael, but it's a basic moral principle that the entire world accepts, the goodness, the purpose of doing kindness. Now, I have here this beautiful, wonderful sefer which we share with you very often called Pilois Edoisecha, and he has a very, very, very interesting chapter describing where does chesed enter into the world of the learning of Torah. In other words, after Avram came Yitzchak. Yitzchak also introduced into this world a principle called avoda, service. You have to serve Hashem. It's not just enough to be kind to man. Okay, you have to be very good to man and work, but you have to also serve out your creator. That's a whole new principle. If with Avram Avinu, there's a creator, so let's be just like Hashem. Hashem does chesed, so we'll be involved the entire day of doing chesed. No, you don't have to daven. You don't have to daven to Hashem. Just do chesed the whole day. You don't need to daven shachris min chamarev. No need to study Torah. Just do chesed. No. Yitzchak, he established that chesed is very good, but you also have to serve Hashem. There's avoda. Avoda means you recognize there's a creator and there are things that you cannot do, things that you should do, between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Along came Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is more complex, and to make long story short, Chazal say he was the one that is the foundation of Torah. Emes, he is the synthesis of Chesed and Avoda, which many different ways of analyzing this, which I don't have really any great grasp of, but he introduced to the world the principle of the study of Torah. Yaakov Avinu, before he went to get married, he spent 14 years in Shem Ve'ever to study Torah. It's a long time. 14 years, Yaakov Avinu did not sleep to study the words of Torah. So if you look at it at face value, you would come and make a mistake and think that each one of these pillars of foundation of Yadus has nothing to do with the other. There's chesed, there's avoda, and there is Yaakov Torah. In this sefer, he develops an entire chapter to show that's not so, and specifically to show that in the world of Torah, there's a very critical element of chesed. Torah can only succeed when the Torah is infused and is imbued with the midah of chesed. Now, what does that mean exactly? How does that manifest itself? So he gives many examples. One example, let's discuss, we are really out of time, so we're very, very quick, just Rashi Prokin. We make a siyum, the minhag is to recite the 10, to make mention of the 10 sons of Rav Papa. Al bar Papa, Mori bar Papa, Sucha bar Papa, Dor bar Papa. We go to the 10 sons of Rav Papa. Papa was a very big Talmud Chacham. In Shas, he appears every other daf. Okay, there's like, actually he's probably the most popular Amor in the whole Shas. Rav Papa is always there saying a svar, always there saying a chiddush. He's a very big compromise, a very big diplomat. Very big diplomat. He always likes to take that the svara of this man, the Omar, is correct in this situation, and the svara of this man, the Omar, is correct in this situation. So therefore, let's bring them together. He was obviously a goyim shebe goyim. His chidushei Torah are cited in every single daf. And he was also a very rich man. Very, very rich man. He was a beer in the beer industry. Shecher, not the way they make beer today. Today they make beer with barley. I don't even know if there is such an industry of making beer today with dates. Beer? Mm-hmm. Is there an industry? There may be.
There was a company in outside of the Muncie that made beer from honey.
From honey?
May.
Not
May.
Dates. May. We need dates. Date honey.
Well, anyone makes sense.
Oh, but dates. No, he made from dates. His specialty was from dates.
I know.
He was a very wealthy person. And
don't
here,
forget dates are also dvash.
Dates, okay, dvash was a dvash tamarim. Dvash,
yes.
Dvash only, but what kind of honey did he make from? Bee honey or date honey? Dvash tamarim. Oh, no, not the same. Okay. Any event, I think today, I just want to tell you two things, we're out of time. But I think today we lose sight of the real depth of this idea. Today, unfortunately, we live in a world where it's all about money. Okay? Money is everything. It's not the only thing.
It is.
Money is not everything. It's the only thing. Money is everything.
No money, no
and
money.
Unfortunately, every institution, Gesundheit, hates the way we live, who's going to be the sponsor for this Shalosh Shodes, who's sponsoring this, everything, everywhere you turn, there's someone's name is on it. It's so overblown. Every chair that we put someone's name on, it's just a technique. Everything is a technique to rate, and we need it. Unfortunately, it's very, very sad, and that's what's necessary to keep this world going. Now, what happens today if you have a very, very wealthy person who really has no shaychus to Torah? He's not a Talmud Chacham. He's just, you know, a regular fine person, but he's not a Talmud Chacham. Would you put him up on the front of the shul? Put him in the Mizrach? Well, unfortunately, today you would. Okay, that's the way the world is. If you have money, it means you're going. It means whatever you want, you are. But in ancient times, time of the Gemara was not like that. It was not like all the money in the world, time of the Gemara, is not going to buy you a front seat by the Sima Shah. It doesn't work like that. You can be the multi billionaire, you're not going to sit on the dais at the Sima Shah.
Unless you have COVID.
What?
Unless you have COVID.
No, look at the real thing. I'm talking about ancient times. Today, if Bill Gates would come to the Sima Shah, sit on the dais. Would he? Who knows? Maybe he would. Would it be good to put him on the dais? If Bill Gates would come to the Sima Shah, would they put him on the dais? If Trump would come, would he put him on the dais? Let's say Trump would say, I'm coming, I don't care. Whether you like it or not, I'm coming to the Sima Shas. Would they put him on the dais with the Russian issues? I really don't know the answer. I'm afraid to ask the question. But one thing is for sure. If he's not sitting on the dais, he's sitting in the first seat. That's for sure. That is for sure. That's for sure. Okay? In ancient times, time of the Gemara. Okay, this is something I don't think we can even relate to. It's impossible to relate to such a thing. I'm not even sure we really have a true assessment. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know if I'm wrong about it. Think about it. In the time of the Gemara, when there was Rav and Shmuel, and they were writing the Gemara, and Rav Papa was walking the streets, and there was the Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan living in Eretz Yisrael, can you imagine what kind of world it was? And let's say, for argument's sake, it was the Sima Shas. And they would invite the president of the United States, Malchus, I don't know, maybe it's different, maybe, I don't know, I really don't know. But they would invite a very wealthy man, very multi-billionaire. Would they allow him to purchase with all of his money a front row seat? A front row seat at a display of Kavanat Torah? In ancient times. I'm assuming no. I hope I'm wrong. I'm assuming no. All the money in the world is going to get your life covered. We're going to give you covered. And we'll put your name all over the place. But you're not sitting in the front row. Because the front row is reserved for the Talmidei Chachamim. Again, today we can't even imagine such a thing like that today. Because today, if you have money, you're in the front row, whether you like it or not. And not only in the front row, you are a Talmud Chacham. Even though you never opened up a Gemara your whole life, it doesn't matter. You are a Talmud Chacham because you have money, it means you have everything. That's the way the world is. I'm not coming to complain about that.
For the right price, you can be a Sayyid
Botan. That's the way the world is. But think about the time when they wrote the Gemara. Rabbi Sa. When they wrote the Gemara, did a rich man, was he able to buy a front row seat? was able to buy from Rav Seder? I'm assuming the answer is no. Rav Papa was one of the richest men in the world. Every Siyum, he got a front row seat. Ad kedei kach, ad hayom hazeh, we make a Siyum, we say, Abba bar Papa, Dodo bar Papa, Raphim bar Papa, Harv, whatever, all the names are Papa, all this heat. Why? He wasn't just rich. He was the real deal. And his money, what was it? What did he do with his money? He sponsored the Siyum. That's what it says. That's why. He would pay for lavish siyumim. He would pay for the study of Torah. He was the biggest toimech Torah that there ever was. But it wasn't just that. He was also a Talmud Chacham. For real. For real. And what is the Chiddush? The Chiddush is, it's not just Torah, and it's not just Chesed. It's the Chesed Shebe Torah, and the Torah Shebe Chesed. He was a person that synthesized, why was he a Talmud Chacham? It's because, why did he have the Siyata Deshmaya? This is his whole thesis, which we don't have time for. Why was he zoche to Siyata Deshmaya in being a Talmud Chacham? It's because he was a Baal Chesed. He had money, he saw Torah, he gave money for Torah, and he applied himself. And because he applied himself, that gave him success, where he became a tremendous Talmud Chacham because of his Chesed. He represented the synthesis of Chesed and Emes, of Avraham. Obviously, Yitzhak has to fit into the picture somehow with Torah. Now, to share, there are a lot of things we can do, a lot of these, but we're out of time. I'm going to tell you one very short Vard, which I think really, to me, was a very, very beautiful insight. It really shook me up. Smach zuvulun b'tzeisecha v'yisachar b'oyholecha. We say this on Simchas Torah. Do we not, in the laning? Let me find the pasuk in all of the blessings. V'lizvulun amar simach zivulun b'tzeisecha v'yisachar b'oyholecha. How do you translate this pasuk? Very quickly. So I always translate it as sum zivulun, be happy when you go out to make a parnasa. Zivulun was the businessman. He was traveling the world. He was in India, Alibaba, and in China, and here and over there, running all over the place, making money. Someone who's running around making money, time to learn. There's no time to learn. If you're busy making money, you're not learning. That's the reality. Who's the beneficiary of his money? All this money, what do I do with it? Oh, Yisachar, here's a kollel check. Here's a kollel check. The Yisachar, be'oy halecha, rejoice in your tent of Torah. So Zavulon, be happy in your success in business. And Yisachar, be happy in when you sit and you're the beneficiary of the blessing, the Zvulon Yisachar partnership. Anyone that never heard of this today in the 21st century is hiding under a rock. In a world that needs money, everyone is searching high and low for money. So I read over in this week, not so long ago, it's not Pshan the Pasuk. If that was Pshan the Pasuk, why would Zvulon be happy? What kind of happiness is there in money? Bill Gates is really happy with all his money. Really happy with money. Money doesn't bring happiness. Torah brings happiness. So Zvulun is really happy. And Yisachar, you don't feel ashamed to take. Come on. It's a shameful thing. It's a shameful thing to take. No one likes to take. You want to be poor and to take. Someone has to support you. This Hanah. What kind of Hanah is that? Hanah and taking. This pleasure in taking. What's going on? Be'oy halecha, now, be'oy halecha, in your tent. Now, I have to go back and read the Vard again, but the one who wrote this Vard claims the word oy halecha is grammatically incorrect. It should say v'yisachar be'ohaloi, in his tent. Be'ohaloi, I don't remember exactly, but he has a whole analysis. Maybe I'm not saying it correctly. The word be'oy halecha is grammatically incorrect. Go back to yeshiva. Go back to a good school who teaches Diktuk, Yeshiva Flapush, third grade, have them analyze this pasuk and see what they tell you, if it's grammatically correct. And he comes to the conclusion, he says an incredible machshava. I don't, and he says, Yisachar, the tent, Be'oi Halecha, is the tent of Zevulun. The Yisachar Zevulun partnership is not Stam. No, Zevulun, he makes a killing. He makes a lot of money, and he comes, he puts a deposit in the account of Yisachar, and Yisachar says, thank you very much, and you send him a Shalach Manas, and you send him a nice Eshrik for Sukkos. No. The duty of Yisachar to reciprocate for the chesed of Zevulun is to make sure Zevulun doesn't remain in Am Haaretz. You give me a check, a koil check, I'm not going to let you be in Am Haaretz. I'm not going to let your children just stand behind Amaratzim. You're going to go out into India and China and don't even know the Alibis. You're supporting me? You know what that means? I got to reciprocate. I got to make sure that you are a five-star Talmud Chacham. Over here, the Pasuk says, Semach Zevulun B'Tzeisecha, rejoice, Zevulun, in your success. You know why? Because Yisachar is rejoicing in watching you succeed in learning Torah in your tent. The Pasuk over here is not even discussing the joy of Yisachar. Yisachar is not even mentioned. You know what? A Talmud Chacham doesn't even need this. Doesn't need the cover, doesn't need the money. He has the Torah to keep him happy. Semach Zevulun B'Tzeisecha, rejoice when you go out to make Parnasa. You know why? Because you have real satisfaction in life. You know why? Because now that you have a partner, the Yisachar, the word smach goes on Yisachar as well, obviously. It's going on. Because Yisachar is going to guarantee and will have joy be'oy halecha in your tent, Zevulun. The oil is the oil of Torah, but it's the oil of Torah of Zevulun. When Zevulun comes back from making Parnasa, where is Zevulun? He's in the oil. Whose oil? Not Yisachar's oil, his own oil. And what is he doing there? He's learning. Why is he learning? Because Yisachar is going to make sure that when Zevulun comes back, Zevulun sits down in Beis Medrash and learns a Daf Gemara with a Sipuk Hanah that he really is accomplishing something. So Yisachar here, who represents the highest level of learning, Yisachar Chamor Gorem, you know what his ultimate simcha is? His simcha is in the chesed, that he's able to make sure someone else also knows how to learn. And who in Klal Yisrael is the most vulnerable one who doesn't know how to learn? Zevulun. You know why Zevulun is the most vulnerable? Because he's out making a parnasa the whole day. He doesn't have time to learn. If you're making a parnasa, there's no time to learn. Between taking your kids to school and shopping and doing everything else and making a parnasa, there's no time to learn. Yisachar, who you give a check to, he's going to make sure you learn. He's going to find time for you to learn. Yisachar is going to rejoice. Here, this word captures the mahus of the chesed in Torah. Abraham introduced in this world is chesed. It's not about you. Don't be a selfish person. Yaakov brought emes, Torah. This synthesis. The synthesis is all over the place. Chesed in Torah. And here is one example of the chesed of Yisachar to guarantee Zevulun is happy in his tent of Torah that he's learning Torah.